The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Time to go to the United States, to Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown. Marion, who is Joe Scarborough and why does Donald Trump call him a psycho?
Okay, Joe Scarborough is a former Republican congressman from Florida who co-presents a pretty popular morning show on MSNBC. It's called Morning Joe. He's also married to a woman called Mika Brzezinski, who is the daughter of a very prominent former Democratic diplomat and national security advisor, I think he was Jimmy Carter's national security advisor. They're a pretty high-profile media stroke political couple in America, and they present this show every morning, and they get very high-octane guests on their show because they both have political capital outside of being reporters. So that answers your question as to who he is. Why he is in the news at the moment separately is that Donald Trump has done something in the last couple of weeks that it's just unforgivable. When Joe Scarborough was a congressman in Florida, he had a young intern working for him. She was 28 years old, very fit young woman, and she had an undiagnosed heart condition. She died suddenly in his office one day. He wasn't even in the office. He was traveling. He was out in the state, in fact. And there was an autopsy performed. They discovered the cause of her death. But because she died in his office, Donald Trump is claiming that Joe Scarborough in some way was involved in her death, and implying her death was a murder. It's just sick and unforgivable that anybody would do this to any person. But he does this because Joe Scarborough is critical of him and is critical of him on his morning show. Now, this poor girl's family, it must be devastating for them. Her father has asked Twitter to take down these tweets. I don't know why, for the life of me, Joe Scarborough doesn't sue Trump for defamation. But he hasn't done so, and he hasn't responded at this
stage.
Well,
Marion, we actually have a clip of Joe Scarborough responding to another Trump tweet claiming, that, of course, that he had killed this woman.
And you actually tweeted something extraordinarily cruel. And I know you meant to be extraordinarily cruel to me by attacking me, by bringing up a conspiracy theory that has lived in the gutters of the internet for some time now. But just like the Seth Rich conspiracy murder that was pushed, you once again drag a family through this and make them relive it again, just like Seth Rich's parents. As if losing a loved one the first time isn't enough. But this weekend, my God, you were supposed to have a working weekend. You got it wrong again. You said 50,000 deaths.
Carl Thomas, do you know this guy, Joe Scarborough?
Yeah, I've met him a few times when he was in Congress. And I agree, this is outrageous. It's what we call in the U.S. punching down. The president doesn't need to do this. I mean, he should be running on his record. It's a low-rated show. It's not an excuse that Scarborough has called him a traitor and other things, and so is his wife. And by the way, both of them left their respective spouses, abandoned their families, shacked up for a while, and then eventually got married. Not that that's relative to what we're talking about, but some equanimity would be helpful here. But this is a pattern of the president. I think it is disgusting. The woman's the husband has written Twitter, asked that Trump's tweets about this be removed. Twitter has officially apologized, but they have not said that they're going to remove them. I just think this is beneath not only a president, it's beneath any human being, especially when there's absolutely zero evidence of any kind of murder or conspiracy or anything else. The autopsy, as you said, revealed the correct reason for death. She fell and hit her head. And I don't know why this is ongoing. I think it's sick, frankly.
Well, then why doesn't anybody in the Republican Party stand up to Donald Trump and tell him this is wildly inappropriate behavior that is debasing the office that he holds?
Well, I think they're afraid of him. We've got an election coming up. Fear is a big driver, unfortunately, in a lot of things. It's the same reason a lot of people haven't stood up to Joe Biden, although more now are, frankly, for some of his remarks, the most recent one I'm sure we're going to get to in a moment, about African Americans. People are afraid in politics. They're more interested in what their opponent can do to them with sound bites and video clips if they say anything about anything. And it's really sad. We don't have debates anymore in America, legitimate debates. We don't talk about outcomes. We don't talk about success. We talk about demonizing the other side. Go back to Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address, in which he said, you know, the Confederates, the Southern states are not our enemies. We're fellow Americans. And that seems to have gone out of our political dialogue, and it's very sad. I remember another time, but I'm afraid we're not going to get back to it.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Joe Biden's controversial weekend interview.
Listen, you got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
you. Take a look at my record, man. I extended the voting rights 25 years. I have a record that is second to none. The NAACP has endorsed me every time I've run. Come on. Take a look at the record.
Nobody's looking at the record, though. They're focusing on the phrase, if you vote Trump, you ain't black. Cal.
Well, first of all, just to correct a misstatement, he claimed the NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, has supported him every time he's run for office. But the NAACP president, Derek Johnson, issued a press release in which he said, quote, we want to clarify that the NAACP is a nonpartisan organization and does not endorse candidates for political office at any level. But as I say in my column for Thursday, which is now posted on my website for anybody interested, Biden has had a history of demeaning minorities and speaking down to them. About Barack Obama in 2007, he said, I mean, you got the first mainstream African-American who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice-looking guy. I mean, that's a storybook, man. And in 2008, he said, you can't go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent. There's more and more of this. He's been speaking about minorities this way for over 30 years.
So, Marion, does that mean he's unsuitable to take the place of Donald Trump in the Oval Office?
You know, sorry, I Joe Biden did something, and I would call him out on it, that I think a lot of Democrats do. They take the black vote for granted, okay? But what he was saying, and I think, and several black people have come out and defended on this, was saying that, you know, you compare his record to Donald Trump's record, and I'm sorry there's no comparison. So, Cal, you mentioned a couple of little minor things that Joe Biden has said over the years, which he shouldn't have said. As I say, the Democratic Party just domed the black vote. But you look at Donald Trump, whose father was in the Klan. He was a Klansman. He was arrested at a KKK rally. Donald Trump and his father had to settle. They were sued by the state of New York because they refused to rent apartments to black families. They didn't want black families in their buildings. Okay, and then you have Donald Trump with the Central Park Five innocent teenagers who he decided were guilty of the rape of a woman in Central Park, and he called for the death penalty for them. And then you have all of his other comments, including on the campaign trail. His whole attitude to black people was, and he said it, what the hell have you got to lose anyway voting for me? Your schools are crap. You have no jobs. You have no, like, implying that every black person, 40 million black people in America, were living in abject poverty, not taking account of the number of black families and black individuals who have done enormous things and who would do so much more if they were treated equally. So, you know, you cannot compare Joe Biden. And, of course, Donald Trump has the naked gall and hypocrisy to jump all over this and, you know, swoon at the fact that Joe Biden would make an inappropriate remark after all the things that he has done and said. It's just, you know what, it's comparing a mouse with an elephant. It's ridiculous.
Over the weekend, Cal, Trump went to mark Memorial Day. He went golfing. The man who spent so much time condemning Barack Obama for his golfing has played three or four times as much golf in his own time in office and at enormous cost to the American taxpayer every time he heads off to visit one of his own courses. But not only did he play golf on a day when 100,000 death toll was reached in the United States because of COVID-19, He then started heading in to Twitter and he started attacking various women about their looks or their weight. He called Hillary Clinton a skank. He had an extraordinary attack on Jeff Sessions, his former attorney general. Again, appropriate behavior?
Well, let's take first things first about golf. Presidents have been criticized for going to play golf back to Dwight Eisenhower. Democrats were all over him because he played golf more than any other president. I don't criticize any president for wanting to have some recreation and get out of this 24/7 job for a while. However, this followed on the heels of President Trump demanding that churches and synagogues all over America be opened up again right away. Now, if he was wanted to lead on this, you would think that he would actually attend a church service as an example, just like we've said he ought to be wearing a mask in crowded areas as an example, but he doesn't. I think the way, you know, we talk about Biden demeaning minorities, I think Trump has demeaned women. I think these tweets are just absolutely, they cannot be defended. They just can't. And I wish that he would stick with a record. The latest information just coming out now, the consumer confidence is up. Businesses are starting to open again. All of these things don't affect average Americans. And as I say in my column today, this whole back and forth between Nancy Pelosi and the president, she says he has doggy doo-doo on his shoes. He responds that she's a mental case and insane. This doesn't help advance any policy in America, and I think it's disgusting.
Of course, maybe, Marion, maybe Trump is right about the face mask when he sees the look that Joe Biden got out of his.
Well, you know what? I really think that from what I've seen, the reaction to Joe Biden has been, look, he's not afraid of looking silly. I mean, you know, Donald Trump goes around...
Neither is Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, exactly. That was the point I was going to make. He goes around with this orange face. Okay, that's his choice. If he wants to wear makeup, he can wear makeup. I suspect he won't wear a mask because he's afraid it'll smudge his makeup. And he has his extraordinary hair. And he has a number of other ridiculous things. And he's afraid about looking silly with a mask. I mean, the guy, after he opens his mouth, he looks silly. So I think a mask, if it helps him maybe to keep his mouth closed, would do him a favor as well as everybody else. I don't know what's going on. It's like everything has gone into these ridiculous little trivias. I personally don't have a problem with Donald Trump playing golf, although I think he does do it a ridiculous amount of time. But let him, because at least he's playing golf. He's not tweeting horrible, vicious messages about people. Okay. And he's also not doing any harm.
Thank you very much, Marion McKeown and Carl Thomas. We'll finish up with another little bit of Trump. And there's no real context for this that we could talk about, but he's certainly seems to have fallen out a bit with Fox News, and he's very now chummy with the Sinclair Broadcast Group. And over the weekend, he gave it an interview in which he spoke about the deep state and the swamp.
But what am I doing? I'm fighting the deep state. I'm fighting the swamp. And I said I was doing it, and I'm exposing the swamp. I think if it keeps going the way I'm going, and Ratcliffe is fantastic, if it keeps going the way it's going, I have a chance to break the deep state. It's a vicious group of people. It's very bad for our country. And that's never happened before.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.